Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The word man there is generic. It doesn't just mean the male species. It means all. Let's notice that again. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And those two last words are the title of our subject tonight, Found Faithful. Found Faithful. That's what we want to be, isn't it? Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. The Apostle Paul was on his way, he thought, to Asia. And the Lord stopped him and told him not to go to Asia. So Paul began to pray. What would you have me to do, and where do you want me to go? In the night, the Lord gave him a vision. In that vision, he saw a man that was waving and saying, come on over and help us. He recognized the man to be from Macedonia. And so he took that to be the will of God. And so the Apostle Paul and his company then went to the country of Macedonia to preach the gospel. But when they got there, they didn't see the man. But nonetheless, they went preaching. Amen. And Acts chapter 16, verse 12 said, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Amen. And so the apostle, when he was looking for a place to have church, normally went to a synagogue. They didn't have one in Philippi. So I don't know how he found out about it, but there was a group of women having a prayer meeting. And he said, well, that's all right. I like prayer meetings. And so last night we had a good prayer meeting. Amen. We had a great prayer meeting. Hallelujah. We had about 14 people in prayer meeting. That was a good thing for us. Amen. That was a wonderful number. And we expect that tribe to increase. Hallelujah. Amen. And so they went down to the riverside where these women were praying. And the Bible said they were speaking to them and a certain woman named Lydia. And then it begins to give some details about this woman, Lydia. Most likely she was a widow because she was the head of her household. And if she were had a living husband, most likely she wouldn't have been the head of her household. It was not the common thing in those days for women to be self-employed or business women. But in this case, she was. And so it seems to indicate then that Lydia was not married. And she probably was a widow. She very likely was, well, she was not from that area. She was had moved to that area. She was not native to Macedonia nor to Philippi. The Bible said she was from Thyatira, which was actually in a state called, of all things, Lydia. So that might not have been her name. That would be like you calling your daughter Texas. Nothing wrong with that, just a little unusual. So Lydia may very well have been a nickname. Just like they call somebody from Texas, Tex. or somebody from Indiana Hoosier or whatever. So nonetheless, she had this nickname, and she went down to pray. And she heard the words of the Apostle Paul. And the Bible said that while he was speaking these things, that the Lord opened her heart. Amen. That's a wonderful phrase. Hey, it's great when God opens your heart. It's great when God opens your eyes. Did you know you can sit on a church pew and the presence of God can be all around you, and you can have a closed heart and you can have a closed mind and nothing's going to happen to you? Others are going to get blessings and healings and receive the Holy Ghost and great gifts from God. But if you have your heart and your mind closed, nothing is going to happen to you. Amen. I want to be like Lydia. I want to have an open heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. I never want to lose an open heart. I want to have an open mind. When it comes to God, hey, I'm wide open. Hallelujah. When it comes to doing what God wants to do, I don't care if anybody's ever done it before. I'm wide open to something that He wants to do. Hallelujah. However He wants to do it, whenever He wants to do it, with whom He wants to do it, I'm open to what God wants to do. But we can close our minds to the moving of the Holy Ghost. And we can kind of say, well, you know, so-and-so's always done that. Well, would it be all right if God did something different and new? Would it be all right if God used somebody new? Would it be all right if God did something different? Amen. Hey, don't close your mind, don't close your heart, and don't close your hands. Amen. You can't receive anything with a fist. Amen. But God can place great things in open hands. Amen. Praise God. So, hey, we need to be open tonight so that God can give to us the things that He desires for us to have. So Lydia came down and she hears the preaching and she receives the preaching. And the Bible said she was baptized. Hallelujah. They were by a river. And so she was baptized, and the Bible said, in her household. Amen. Now, Lydia was not only a person that was faithful and full of faith, but she was a person that affected others with her faith. Faith is not just to save you. Faith is what you live every day. And the living faith should affect other people. Amen. I said living faith should affect people around you. People that you work with on your job should be affected by your faith. People in your household should be affected by your faith. It should make a difference in the way you live, and it should make a difference in the lives of others. Amen. I'm not saying that you've got to go around preaching to everybody and condemning everybody. Certainly not. Amen. But if you live a Christian life, it'll be different. I promise you that. And you will shine like a light in a dark place. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll stand out even if you're not trying to. Praise God. There's just something about a Christian that's different than this old world. Amen. We don't talk the same. No, we don't. Amen. We don't think the same. We don't have the same convictions. We don't have the same values and principles and ideas. You will stand out. And faith then is not something just to save you, but faith is something also you use to save others. Amen. Thank God for a living faith that reaches out like the faith of Lydia and touched other people. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I've seen it happen so very many times. Amen. We worked in an area where there were not very many Pentecostals. So almost everybody that was converted came from another group. And we noticed that one particular church group, when people came out of that group, they made it hard on them. I mean, families wouldn't talk to them. They wouldn't speak to them anymore. And when they did, they were not kind about it. And it was hard for them because their families would turn on them whenever they converted and received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Started serving God. They made fun of them. They laughed at them. They gave them a really hard time. But you know what I noticed? If they stayed faithful to the Lord, and most of them did, they'd just persevere and they'd just keep serving God. And you know what? Their faith started reaching out to their families. And after a while, the families, they just kind of thought they were weird, but they started accepting them. Weirdness and all. And after a while, whenever they started having needs, they started asking them to pray for them because they knew that they had a lot of faith and they had something that they didn't have. Hallelujah. And it wasn't too long till they started winning their families to the Lord. Praise God. Hey, when you get this faith, be faithful. Be faithful. Amen. And in time, you will win your family to the Lord. And in time, you will win others to the Lord. The Bible says that she won her household. I don't know if that happened overnight. It may have been a process of time, but the children were won to the Lord. Amen. And the servants were won to the Lord. And everybody in her household was won to the Lord. Thank God for an infectious, contagious faith that reaches out and touches other people and wins them to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's what faithfulness is. If you're going to have faithfulness, you got to have faith. You can't be faithful without faith. As a matter of fact, the word faithful simply means full of faith. Now let me just say something about faith tonight. Faith's not some kind of a golden coin that you exchange to get things out of God. Some people think that if you have faith, you can bribe God to do kind of what you want Him to do. Number one, your motive's wrong. Your priorities are wrong. I read somewhere in this book, it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not what you want, not what I want, but what does He want? Amen. That's what faith is. Faith is seeking what God wants for my life and for my family. God, what do you want? Not what does Johnny Grissom want? Some people would try to tell you that if you have a lot of faith, you can ask God for a Rolls Royce and a big mansion on the hill with golden faucets and air-conditioned dog houses and all of this stuff. And as your faith is, so be it unto you. First of all, you got your priorities wrong. That's not for everybody. Amen. I said, that's not for. What difference does it make? Amen. I read about some apostles. They were on their way to a prayer meeting. How does that prayer meeting keep coming up? It just seems to. They were on their way to a prayer meeting, and this guy stopped them outside asking for some money. And they said, why, silver and gold have I none. Does that mean they're disqualified from the kingdom because they didn't have money? Amen. Heard about a guy one time. His son was getting his hair was getting a little too long, and his dad said, "Son, you need to go get a haircut." And the boy said, "But Dad," he said, "Jesus had long hair." And he said, "Yeah." And he said, and he walked everywhere he went to. You can't drive the car to get your haircut. Amen. Amen. But first of all, we don't know that Jesus had long hair. That's what. Some sissy painter painted him like, and everybody's kind of taking that image of what he looks like. Amen. Homosexual guy was painting pictures with long hair and effeminate looking men, and I don't know about you, but that's not my Jesus. He was a man that had calluses on his hands. The Bible said when you see him, there's no beauty that you should desire him. He was not Hollywood handsome. He was just a regular looking guy. He was rough and tough. Amen. Because of the kind of life he had to live. He lived outdoors. He walked everywhere he went. He was a carpenter, worked with his hands to make his living. He was a man's man, not some kind of a little sissy that so many people want to portray him to be. There was nothing soft and sissy about Jesus Christ. He was a man. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, amen. That was pretty good. I don't know how we got on that, but anyway. All right, just in case you needed to know. Wow, I'm far afield. Amen. But faithful means full of faith. That's where I got off. Let me get back. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 said, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There are three important things that we learn about faith there. First of all, we have to believe in the existence of God. Amen. And could I say today that anybody that believes in the existence of God is doing well? You don't stop there, but that's a good starting place. So don't tell people that believe in God, but they don't believe anything because they don't believe what you believe. They do believe in God. Instead of tearing down what they have, hook on to where they are and try to get them to more truth. Amen. Try to get them to more faith. Amen. Let's not destroy what's already there. Let's bring them to greater knowledge of God. So we must believe, first of all, that God is. Psalm 53 and 1 said, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." It's foolish to not believe in God. Psalm 19, 1 through 3 said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." In other words, how can you say there's not a God when you walk out and all you can see is God? See his works. The heavens are filled with them. The earth is filled with them. The sounds of nature are filled with them. Everywhere you look, you're surrounded by the glory of God. Amen. That's why the Bible said it's foolish not to believe that there is a God. Amen. You believe that he is, and secondly, you have to have faith in God's abilities. That he is. That he is a rewarder. Everybody say, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. A key word there is diligently. Amen. Somebody said, "I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer." Well, how diligently did you pray? Did you seek the kingdom of heaven first? Did you seek God's righteousness first? Or was it just some selfish whim that you wanted to use God like some kind of a slot machine to get something out of? Amen. No wonder some folks don't get much from God. They're trying to use God instead of love God. Amen. Relationship comes first. Amen. And so we trust in God's ability. He can do anything. He does. The Bible said he's able to do abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen. So don't limit God's ability. And then don't limit God's character or insult him. Amen. You see, some people believe that God can, but they think that he won't. Amen. The Bible said, and we've quoted it a lot lately, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You don't have to twist God's arm. You don't have to win God's favor. You've already done that. If God loved you enough to give you the Holy Ghost, what more could you ask? Isn't that wonderful? He didn't give it to you because you were good. He gave it to you because he's good. Amen. Hallelujah. He gave it to you because he wants to. Hallelujah. The Bible said, if we being evil give good gifts to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father, how that he would give you the Holy Ghost. He wants you to have it. He desires for you to have it. He shed his blood and gave his life so that you could have it. That's how desperate God is for folks to get the Holy Ghost. He wants you to have it. Amen. Don't doubt God's character, that God is good. Amen. And he desires to give good gifts to his children. God wants to do that. God loves to bless his people. Hallelujah. I said God loves to bless his people. Amen. Some of us have lived in some situations where what we received was based on merit. You know, if you could be good, then you got certain things. Isn't that right? You know, if you'll be still while you're in church, after church I'll get you an ice cream cone or a popsicle. And boy, that was hard to do. Well, would you talk about well earned? I hardly ever got there, but anyway. Amen. But we're based on a system of merit. That's the way our society is set up. You do this and you'll earn this. And that's not so bad. That's just the way life works. But in God's economy, it's different. He just loves you. You don't earn God's grace. I love what somebody said. I quote it often. You don't get good to get God. Amen. But you get good, or God makes you good so you can, or you get, I'll get it right here in a minute. Let me start all over. You don't get good to get God, but you get God to get good. There you go. That's it, right? Amen. You can't be good without Him. Amen. He's got to put it in you. Amen. His righteousness and His purity and His divine nature. And that's what makes us good and holy. Amen. We can't do it by ourselves, folks. Amen. Praise God. And so we have to have faith in God's character. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are several kinds of faith that are observable, and we have observed through the years. There is what we call fair weather faith. Some people can serve God only when it's blue sky conditions. Everything's going good. Praise the Lord, man. We're doing great. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't He wonderful? He's just fantastic. Wow, I love the Lord so much. Amen. Pastor, I want to do everything. I want to clean the toilets and the bathroom. I love the Lord so much. Got a brush just for you. Amen. I want to mow the lawn. I want to lead the song service. I want to preach the sermon. I want to do it all because I love God so much. And then a trial comes along. I don't know why God hates me so much. I don't know why God treats me like this. I can't stand this church. It's full of hypocrites. I can't stand that preacher. Amen. He called that preaching. Same person. Amen. That's what we call blue sky faith. As long as it's blue skies. Isn't it wonderful? Trying to get everybody else. Brother Hart, why aren't you worshiping God? Isn't this wonderful? Next service, you trip over your lip getting in the back door. Amen. That's blue sky faith. Fair weather faith. Amen. This is the weirdest faith of all, and that is foul weather faith. There are some people that only have faith in God when everything's bad. When they have trouble, and they get in trouble, and somebody's sick, or they're sick, or somebody's dying, or they're dying, and the economy's fell apart, and they're going broke, and they're in all kinds of trouble, and they come running to God. Crying and slinging snot, and oh God, please help me, oh God. You're good, God. I love you, God. Yeah. Amen. And they weep and they pray through. Yeah. Amen. 1988. You remember 1988? September 1988. Yeah. Amen. A guy wrote a book, said 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. It sold several million copies. And I am telling you, friend, the sun on that September Sunday morning before the Lord was supposed to come, we had a house full of people. And when we gave the altar call, I mean several backsliders prayed through to the Holy Ghost. Sunday night, woo, we had church. He didn't come Wednesday morning, and they were not there Wednesday night. And as far as I know, they hadn't been back since. That's what we call foul weather faith. when there's things that scare you and you have needs, and so that takes you to God. But then when he doesn't come, well, Lord, I'll see you again next time there's a big scare. Next time I have a calamity in my life, I'll see you, Lord. Next time I need a spare tire because I got a flat, I'll see you, Lord. Until then, I'll stuff you in the trunk and drive you around until I have some kind of a calamity, and then I'll drag you out again. You see, that's foul weather faith. Isn't that kind of warped? Kind of strange, isn't it? James said this, "He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord." You ever been down and watched at the seashore and watched the waves come in? It's restless all the time. It's coming in and it's going out. It rolls in and it rolls back out. And James said, some people's faith is just like that. It's tossed to and fro. It's never stable. Amen. And thank God for all weather faith. There are some folks that when the sun's shining, they're going to serve the Lord. And when it's raining and it's stormy and the wind is howling, they're going to serve the Lord. When times are good, they're going to serve God. When times are bad, they're going to serve the Lord. And you probably won't know the difference. They probably won't tell you how bad it is when it's bad, and they probably won't boast about how good it is when it's good. They're just going to serve God because they love God. They love Him in the sunshine, and they love Him in the rain. Amen. They just love Him all the time, and their mind's made up. I will serve Him because I love Him. I'll serve Him in poverty and I'll serve Him in prosperity. Nothing will stop me from serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They see the invisible, believe the incredible, and receive the impossible because they believe in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. God, give us fair weather faith. Give us all weather faith. All weather faith. When it's good and when it's bad, amen, I will serve the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The psalmist said, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Praise. Hey, make it a habit to praise the Lord. Make it a habit to praise the Lord. Amen. The only time you ought to praise God is when you want to and when you don't want to. Hallelujah. And when you don't want to, you need to praise Him all the more. And it won't take but a few times and you'll get the want to. Hallelujah. Amen. The darkness will roll away. The light will break through. The joy of the Lord will come and you will want to praise Him. Hallelujah. You know, I kind of like those times now. Amen. Used to kind of bother me. God, where are you? And now I know where He lives. I got His address. Let me give you God's address. The Bible said the Lord dwells in the praise of His people. That's His address. Brother Grissom, I can't feel the Lord. Then just start praising because that's His address. Hallelujah. Start telling Him how good He is. But I don't feel anything. Doesn't matter. Just start telling Him anyway. God, You're good today. You're good every day. I love You more than I did yesterday. I'm going to serve You anyhow. Not because of what You've done for me, but because of who You are. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we do that, the presence of the Lord is powerful in our midst. Amen. The apostles asked the Lord one day, they said, Lord, increase our faith. How do you increase your faith? First of all, how do you get faith? Romans chapter 12, the Bible said this, verse 1 through verse 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given everybody faith. There is not a human being on the face of the earth that God did not give faith. Everybody has faith as a gift from God. The next step is to develop your faith by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's two ways we do that. One is that we read the Word of God. Everybody needs to read your Bible. Everybody needs to read your Bible. You need to make it a habit to read your Bible. Let me say that again. You need to make it a habit to read your Bible. It's important that you read the Word of the Lord. Amen. If you were in love with somebody and they wrote you a letter, do you remember how anxious you were to get into it? You went out to the mailbox, you got a letter from your loved one, you said, "Woo! Look what we got here." You couldn't even wait to get to the house unless you had some nosy brothers and sisters. And then you'd have to run off somewhere and get by yourself to read it. But you couldn't wait to read it, could you? Because it was from the one I love. And we love him. And he loves us. And he's written us a letter. Praise God. And we need to fall in love with his word. And it will build our faith. Amen. Praise God. The second is the preached word of God. That's what we're doing right now. Amen. We are feeding you the word of the Lord. Amen. And it builds your faith. Hallelujah. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So we increase our faith by God's word. And then faith is developed through trials. You know, it's a lot like you learn everything else. Somebody said faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. Amen. And we've used this illustration times past, but it does it so well. Do you remember how you learned to read? Wasn't that fun? Amen. I see some of these little books around here. What's that dog book? Yeah, there you go. You get those books, and remember you were in first grade or kindergarten. I didn't get to go to kindergarten. They didn't have that back in my day. We were still riding dinosaurs at school, you know. So it's but you got our first readers, and we started reading. And we'd say, "The dog is red." Wow. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Amen. And then we'd say, "See spot." Yeah, and there's a picture of spot. "See spot, run." I'm getting good. "Spot runs fast. Woo! Well, we're getting somewhere now. You remember that? Well, it was tough. They'd call on you to read, and you just... I used to count, you know, so I'd know when it was my turn. And then I'd start trying to figure out what I was supposed to read when I got to be my... So I wouldn't look like a fool when I got there. Amen. And it was just tough getting there. And math came along. Oh. And then we start doing math. 1 + 1 = 2. But after a while, you're out of the fingers. And you really, it would be impolite to take off your shoes and count your toes. So, you know, 10's about as far as you could go that way. Math was tough. Amen. Then I got in high school and they started throwing letters and numbers together. And that's when I said adios. Mm-mm. Amen. I almost think it's a sin. Amen. Now, all you mathematicians, y'all think I'm just joking, but I'm not. Amen. Brother Hart uses that stuff. He knows how to make it work. It don't work for me. He was telling me how he didn't want to climb up, and so he figured out, you know, how this elevation here by math. He got this triangle thing going, and he figured out how far that was. And I said, well, I just, you know, put my tape there and I get a ladder and I climb up there, and that's how I figured it out. Amen. So there's a way to get things done, you see. But we start out elementary, and faith's like that. Things that would bowl you over when you first start serving the Lord. You get a little ways down, and it's so gradual, you don't even realize it, how strong you become in the Lord. Amen. So there's things that you just determine in your early life. Things that I'm going to do. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. Amen. I'm going to do that. That's primary. Every day I'm going to read my Bible. Every day I'm going to pray. Those are things I must do. And when it's church time, I'm going to go to church. Amen. Those are things that I will do. And that's just the beginning of your faith. Amen. And you just set those rules out and you just stay with them. Amen. And the days come and the days go, and trials come and trials go, and troubles come and troubles go. Amen. And you just stay faithful. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's right. So you just hang in there. Peter said it this way, 1 Peter chapter 1, said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Everybody say, kept to the power of God. Through faith. Through faith unto salvation. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, that you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You're going to have temptations, folks. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom not having seen, ye love, in whom and through whom now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You're going to have some troubles in life. Could I tell you something? You had troubles before you came to the Lord. And you're going to have troubles after you come to the Lord. It's not going to stop trouble. But the difference is that you have Jesus with you. And you have Jesus in you. Hallelujah. Amen. And it makes all the difference. Praise the Lord. Amen. And faith is developed in your relationship. Everybody say relationship. Amen. Relationships are so important. They're what make heaven, heaven, and hell, hell. Relationships. Relationships. Amen. They're the greatest thing on the earth. Amen. What good would it do to have a beautiful home and nobody to share it with? A wonderful car and nobody to ride in it with? Amen. A beautiful meal and nobody to share it with? You know what I'm saying? Relationships are important. Amen. And a relationship with Jesus Christ is just the same. It's important that you build a relationship with the Lord. Jude verse 21 said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So we build our faith by our prayers and our relationship with the Lord. Amen. That means that you pray when you don't feel like praying. You worship when you don't feel like worshiping. You go to church when you don't feel like going to church. You just do what you know is right. You can just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And faith means serving. We show our faithfulness in serving God. Serving God. Serving God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's how we do it. Service is important. Service is vital. Somebody went to a little store they used to go to, and there was a guy there that was not very good employee. And so they said, where's Eddie? Is he sick? And the boss's son said, nope, he ain't sick. He don't work here no more. And they said, do you have anyone in mind for the vacancy? He said, nope. Eddie didn't leave no vacancy. I don't want that testimony, folks. Amen. If I'm missing, I want it to feel like somebody's missing. Hello? You know, there's folks in the church that they're just there. And if they're missing, it's like, where are they? Because you see, they leave a vacancy. Huh? And then there's others. We won't go there. But you know what I'm talking about? I want to leave a vacancy, don't you, Brother Hart? Amen. Now, when I leave here, if I happen to go the death road, and I hope I don't. I'd like to go in the rapture. But if I do go that way, I want somebody to miss me. I want to leave a vacancy. Because people that do something leave a vacancy. People that accomplish something leave a vacancy. Amen. You see, that's what service is. When we serve the Lord, the Bible said, whatsoever you find to do, do it with all your might. And it also said, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you get up and you just do the best you can. Is that right? Amen. If you're going to sing, do it as unto the Lord. If you're going to preach, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. If you're going to clean the church building, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. If you're going to mow the lawn, do it as unto the Lord. Whatever you're going to do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Right? Praise God. Do it the best you can. How do you serve the Lord? Well, let me show you how Lydia did it. Amen. There were two preachers, or a preacher, a company of preachers there. And back in those days, you know, the Holiday Inns were not very nice. Matter of fact, they didn't have them. Hotels were not very nice. And so they needed a place to stay. And this is what Lydia said. She said, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Amen. She invited them, come over. I want to take care of you. I want to give you a place to stay. I want to fix your groceries. Come to my house. Amen. And the Bible said she constrained them. She wouldn't take no for an answer. You see, she had a spirit of service. She said, maybe I can't sing in the choir. I don't think I had one. Amen. And I'm not ready to teach Sunday school, but hey, I can do something for the Lord. Amen. And so she sought a place of service and she found it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Let me wind down here. I'm almost through, if you'll hang on just a minute. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 5. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Everybody say stewards. Stewards means that you are a manager or you are a keeper of. He said, the mysteries of God. Wow. That sounds good, doesn't it? The mysteries of God are revealed mysteries. They're not secret mysteries. They're revealed mysteries. God has revealed to us His plan of salvation. And we are keepers of that. And we're stewards of that. And we need to use that wisely and cherish it and value it as it is to be valued. And we are to share it and propagate this gospel. He said, and I read this as my text, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. In other words, you don't want a steward, somebody over your household, that's a thief. Or that's lazy. Or that is dishonest. Or that will abuse your household. So he said it's essential. It's required that stewards be found faithful. Then he goes on to say, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. That's kind of interesting. Paul said, what you think of me really doesn't matter much. What? Some of you look a little shocked here. He said, what you think about me doesn't really matter very much. Amen. And then he goes on to say this. He said, I judge not mine own self. In other words, my judgment of self doesn't really matter. Putting this in perspective, what you think, he said, of me is not important. What I think of me is not important. Here's what's important. He said, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Now, that's a very important verse. Judge nothing before the time. Some people are constantly judging other people before the time. Some people judge every service, amen, and determine whether it's worth coming for or not, or whether they're going to come back. Judge not before the time. Amen. Hey, folks, life is a compilation of things. Amen. There are very few really big things in life. It's all put together. Amen. So you see, he said, don't judge before the time. Amen. Until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. So he said, when the Lord comes, he's going to do the judging. And those that we may have thought were so great may not be so great. And those that we didn't think much of, God may set on a high pedestal. Amen. He's going to judge because he knows everything. Amen. God will be the right judge. And so it's important then, folks, that we don't get hung up on the judging thing. That's not our job. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let me try to shut this down here. Amen. You know, there are some people that go up like rockets, man. Woo! And they come down like rocks. Amen. I've seen folks that when they start out for God, they're like a comet in the sky. They start out spectacular. And then they burn out. And they're gone. There are others that shine like stars. You can set your course by them. Because they were there yesterday, they'll be there today, and they'll be there tomorrow. You can count on their steadfast. Amen. That's very important. That's what faithfulness is. It's not how bright you are. It's not what a splash you make. It's whether you're going to be there tomorrow and the next day. That's what faithfulness really is. Amen. Let me ask you some questions here. If your car starts once every three tries, is it reliable? If your paper boy skips delivery every Monday and Thursday, is he trustworthy? If you don't go to work once or twice a month, are you a loyal employee? Matter of fact, you won't be an employee at all. If your refrigerator stops working on a day or two every now and then, and you see, oh, well, it works most of the time. Is that good enough? If your water heater provides icy cold showers every now and then, is that all right? If you miss a couple of loan payments every year, does the bank say, 10 out of 12 ain't bad? If you fail to worship God one or two Sundays a month, huh? Would that be called faithful? We expect our cars to work. We expect our refrigerator to work. We expect our water heater to work. We expect our lights to work when we pay the bill. And we expect these things, don't we? I mean, we just expect it. Our boss expects us to show up. You're expected to pay your bills. Amen. Should we be any less faithful to God than these are faithful to us? Faithfulness. It's important, isn't it? Faithfulness. Amen. Faithfulness. Praise God. Read about a young mother. She was trying to explained to her young son why he needed to go to church. And it was Thanksgiving time, and there's a picture of this pilgrim family. It's a well-known picture, and they were all going to church. Daddy was in the lead. Mom was there. Little boy was walking along. Mom said to the little boy, she said, "See?" She said, "See how much this little boy, how much he loves to go to church with his family?" And he said, "Oh, yeah?" He said, "Then why does Daddy have a gun?" Thought maybe he needed a little motivation there. I don't know. Amen. Praise God. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Amen. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Galatians 6 and 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. Faithfulness. My heart's faithful, thank God. Still going. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Could I say this tonight? If you're not faithful in little things, you probably won't be faithful in big things. Let me say that again. If you're not faithful in the little things, you probably won't be faithful in the big things. Amen. Praise God. Just somebody that you can count on. Let me ask you tonight, can Jesus count on you? Can the Lord depend on you? Amen. Are you going to be faithful? Just be faithful. He doesn't ask a lot of us. I admired this man very much. Somebody asked him one time. He was getting ready to start a new business for the Lord, big business. Somebody asked him. It looked like it was an impossible thing. And they said, "Well, brother, that's a big job. Do you think you'll be successful?" He said, "The Lord didn't ask me to be successful. He just asked me to be faithful." And that's meant much to me through the years. God didn't ask me to be successful. He just asked me to be faithful. And if I'll be faithful, He'll take care of the success. Amen. If I'll be faithful, He can take care of the success. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time, your attention tonight. Amen. Let's look to the Lord right now and just tell Him that we want to be faithful. Amen. It's not so important about yesterday. What's important is starting right now. If you messed up, don't let that stop you. Just say, "But beginning today, beginning tonight." Amen. I'm going to quit worrying about being successful. And I'm going to start concentrating on just being faithful. If I didn't pray today, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to pray tomorrow. If I didn't read my Bible today, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to start fresh. Amen. And I'm going to start doing it right. Amen. If I've missed a few services, I let some things get in the way. Amen. I'm going to make up my mind. Amen. It's going to be different now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be faithful. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That a man be found faithful. Let's be faithful to the Lord, shall we? Amen. Why don't we lift our hands right now and let's just talk to Him for a moment. Jesus, tonight, I'm going to do better. I know that there are some areas that I need to improve in. I want you to help me. And I'm going to do my best to do better. Again and right now. Thank you for your love that never changes. It's always steadfast. You don't love me more one day than you do the next. You don't love me more when I'm good than you do when I'm bad. You love me the same all the time. Your love is not based on my performance. It's just simply that you are love. Amen. Praise God. And your love is the same. Amen. Praise God. But your love is not fickle. It's not fashion. It's steadfast. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your patience with us. God, that you don't get angry and give up on us. Amen. But that you give us another chance. You said that your mercies are fresh every morning. I thank you for that today. Help me, Jesus.